Hi, Michelle. It's so great to have you on the Business Owner Series. I'm so excited to hear about your story and what you're up to today and what the future holds. So, without further ado, I'm going to turn it over to you to introduce yourself.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate this. So, as an introduction, I am Dr. Michelle Griffin. I hold a PhD in industrial organizational psychology, which is a research degree of human capital in the workforce. I own Griffin Resources, which is an HR outsourcing firm. So we help small to mid-sized businesses with their HR and their day-to-day function of all aspects of HR, including payroll and recruiting. And then it's the tactical kind of the actual everyday work. We do have some leadership coaching and other parts of more, I would say, abstract parts of AR, but of HR, but typically we focus on just the actual doing of the HR work. And we have a department of HR. So we have everything from lower level generalists up to strategists and VP of HR, a payroll specialist, an accountant, and our recruiting and talent acquisition team. And so we fractionalize our time out to small to mid-sized businesses, very similar to like a vendor relationship. And then we charge by the hour, rounded to the nearest 6th minute. So a little bit more like a law firm billing structure. So there's no minimums, no retainers, just the ability to purchase time for an HR specialist.
That's so
So.
awesome because I know, in our world, people challenges are sometimes the ones most avoided and the things that, matter the most because your team is so critical to running a business. So it's great to know you don't have to hire a full-time person for HR. You can start with a fractional resource like yours.
Yeah, and it can be. We have some clients that are really small that, just small businesses. Our smallest company is actually 2 employees.
Wow.
And we help them set up their payroll, kind of literally start from using 1099s and changing the business over. And the largest company we have right now is 400 employees, and we're just a small piece of their HR and recruiting team. So we just kind of help when they're in between. And, sometimes it's just a few $100 a month. Sometimes it's a few $1,000 a month. So we really customize what we do to the company's need. And my whole passion is really helping small business owners that just can't wait to have some of these solutions until it's even a part-time job. Some of these jobs are really only a couple hours a week. And it's not worth it to hire somebody, especially with the overhead and payroll taxes and liability and everything else you have to deal with. So we kind of fit in this neat
Yeah.
little niche, and we don't have any limitations on industry. So we've helped everything from blue collar to white collar, manufacturing and warehouses to medical companies, law firms, wealth management companies, so things like
I
that.
love that, Michelle, because so many businesses, at least I'm sure you get this too, is like, what do you know about my industry or how can you help me if you haven't been in my world? But when you are playing at the level we're playing at, and you are, it sounds like, there's so much in common, as far as, you all follow the same rules and laws and you all need to hire and fire and be clear in your communication. So I love that you're able to just stretch any industry, even the really custom odd ones like we do too. It's like some of them, it's like, I didn't even know there was an industry for that.
I think the most interesting one that we have that we partner with is the duty free shops on cruise ships, which I
Oh,
didn't know was
cool.
its
That's
own
unique.
company.
See, I love that. I love finding all these unique ones. And then there's like all the lawyers, and all the physicians or whatever, So that's awesome. And tell me a little bit, because you're very distinguished in your education and, but I'd love to hear just how do you go from an education like that to starting your own practice and what's the story behind it?
I did that simultaneously, which I don't
Wow.
recommend. So it took me 5.5 years to do my degree. I just finished in June. So I just defended, and I'm actually working with my school for my publication of my dissertation.
Congrats.
So that should be done a little bit later this year. And I started the business in the very end of 2019. And at that point, I changed from being an executive over to starting my own business. And initially, I thought I would just be a consultant while I was going through school, and very quickly found a demand for just helping out in HR, and rather than just consulting and helping and explaining or educating people on HR, the companies would just hand over HR and say, you know, here's an email address, help us do HR. And rather than turn away the work, I ended up hiring employees. And so after only 3 months of starting the company, I had 8 clients and hired 2 full-time employees. Mm-hmm. And then when COVID hit and everything shut down, we had some businesses that needed more attention and some that needed less, some that had to shut down, and we had to help handle that. Furlough some employees. So there was a lot of work to be done in that kind of situation for several months. And then once the industry started to strengthen a little bit about end of 2020 is when we started to grow the company again. And I was able to pretty much double in size year over year. So then I had to, so the first year we did about 175,000 in revenue. The next year we did 550,000 in revenue. And last year we did 1.2 million in revenue.
Wow.
So I was able to break that $1 million ceiling.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
Congrats. Some spent a very long time under that 1 million and just can't get past that one. So good for you. And you're probably practicing a lot of the things that you teach and why you're getting there, because it does take delegating and hiring team and that what you just described.
Yeah, it takes a lot of intention of culture. And, you know, especially now with a lot of people talking about quiet quitting or how do you handle remote workers and keep them engaged. So my actual research was that very topic. I just took it one step further and looked at international businesses and how do they do it across international borders, because they not only have different laws across a country, like we have very similarly across state lines and time zones, and just kind of added a little bit extra complexity there. So it was really interesting to learn about how to keep in touch in real time and utilize your resources and how to keep people engaged. And it really does come down to caring. You know, people need to feel cared about. You know, I remember even when I was an executive in HR, like really thinking that I was giving myself to the company and expecting, you know, them to give the same amount of care in return. And, you know, sometimes that's not what happens in large companies or in companies, depending on the, you know, values of the owners. And so it's really important to help teach the owners of the companies, like to see what perspectives they have from their employees and how to make sure that, you know, they, a lot of times when I talk to business owners, they expect their employees to work just as hard as they do because they care so much about the company, and that's never going to happen. That's not what they're there for. No one's going to work as hard as the owner. And in small businesses, you have to really have some grace there on what's the benefit of the employees and what do they get out of it for their career, for the time that they're there, because you can't expect them to be there for long, you know, long periods of time anymore.
Right.
So even when I'm talking to my employees, I'm like, I know you're not going to be here forever. I want to value your career while you're here. And when you are done working here, let me know. I'll help you find a job on the way out, or let me know how I can help you transition to a career that does make you happy. And, you know, the talk about exiting is just as important as the talk about hiring them and, you know, kind of making sure it's a two-way street. And so, you know, going into situations like that is more about, you know, how to function as a business and, you know, deal with turnover because it's going to happen, and try to make it for your benefit than a huge expense that has to happen all the time.
Yes, that makes total sense. And some industries more than others have higher turnover depending on the type of position they're hiring mm-hmm. for and firing for and all that good stuff. But I love what you said about just, you know, that culture of caring. And in our world, it's the kind of the comparison of customers, because we, you know, a lot of businesses almost like focus so much more care on their customers than on their team. So it's great to know a resource that really thinks that way and teaches business owners how to think differently about their stuff. Tell me a little bit about, because you mentioned how you can work with all different types of industries. So it's probably not an industry type that's an ideal customer for you, but maybe what are some of their symptoms or challenges that, how do you describe an ideal fit for you?
So ideally, we want to work with businesses that see HR as a value center rather than a cost center mm-hmm. and want to make an investment into their employees. So a lot of times when they come to us, we want to know what keeps them up at night. They, you know, if they know what their problems are, they know that they need solutions for them. And they're at a point when they're not just going to say, okay, COO, this is your problem, go fix it. You know, usually we're talking to a COO or CFO and sometimes the CEO as well about, you know, we want to start where it makes sense. So we do have a full audit process that we can just tear HR apart and figure out exactly what would need to happen to be compliant and make things better and easier and put processes in place. But typically we start with what keeps them up at night and we want to focus on the solutions that they need. And then we will slowly work into whatever additional, you know, issues we find along the way. And so finding companies that are ready to have those conversations are, you know, really have, you know, to the point where they are looking for those kinds of solutions, then we can have those conversations. But it doesn't work when we have to convince a company that they need this service because it doesn't work out for them. They don't see the value in it. They don't see the need in it. And ultimately it doesn't work out. So we do conduct project-based things as well. So we'll come in just to write a handbook and give it back, help an HR department. So sometimes it's a VP of HR to reach out that they might just need an extra hand. We don't try to take people's jobs. We are not here to be forever. You know, we don't want to intimidate anybody that's in HR. So that's the other thing, they need to be prepared. If they do have people working in HR, how to, you know, let them know we're here to help them and we're not here to take anything away from them and intimidate them in any way, because that happens too. So it doesn't matter the industry, the size or the location. It's more about just an area of need and being aware of that.
Yeah, I love that. And we actually have that in common because we always talk about this isn't like something you just buy and leave. This is a relationship, and, you know, seeing the value is a big part of how it works for the person that's investing. So you have to have that mindset coming in. I love that. What's a good first step for a business that just wants to either learn more? So maybe it's a newsletter or something that you have, or if they're actually ready to talk to someone, like what is kind of the first step?
The first step is pretty much to have a conversation. I still do most of our business development. Okay. So I'm usually the one to talk to them and explain, you know, what kind of budget are they looking for? How can we help them in that budget? What can we provide them? And so we do have a newsletter that we send out, but typically it would be, that's usually more about information in the HR industry and employment law in general. But if they want to get in touch with us, it's pretty easy. My information is all over the internet. So you can our website is griffin-resources.com. And I'm at, my email is michelle@griffin-resources.com.
Perfect. So, and I'll make sure we put all that in the description.
So just reaching out to me directly. And I, you know, spend most of my time just talking. I would say about half of my day every day talking to business owners and, you know, people interested and things like that. So make that a huge priority of my time.
Yeah, very cool. That's awesome. And, you know, switching gears to your business a little bit, you've mentioned the growth that you've had and how you've been expanding. Tell me a little bit about, you know, because a business that was kind of born into the COVID age, what has changed and what do you see changing and evolving when it comes to HR?
So for us, I've had a lot of lessons learned about running the business and what works and kind of what doesn't work, at least for us. I did have some retainers, where we had like a set amount every month that, you know, the company would ask for, or we would charge them. That did not work out for us. I felt like it was unfair to them sometimes and unfair to me sometimes. And usually people are like, well, it'll balance out. But then a lot of times we couldn't just really determine the ROI behind it for either parties. So I ended up, once those contracts expired, I ended up not renewing them and just got down to an hourly, and we would just renegotiate with those clients for hourly. And then they realized, you know, we can really provide them a lot of savings when we do that. And so it works out. We know our profit margin that way as well. It's predictable and we still have reoccurring revenue and understand how that works out even without a retainer. And it's a little bit easier for us to calculate and rely on. For the industry of HR, we're starting to see, it depends on the economy. We're seeing a lot of layoffs. We're seeing a lot of layoffs in the HR industry. So HR professionals, recruiters, and things like that. So we're always looking for good talent that kind of want to work remotely and fractionally. Most of our employees are part-time by choice. They're either, you know, stay-at-home moms that come from HR. students, and then those that want to work full time, we keep them at about 35 to 40 hours a week, depending on the hourly workflow. And then that way we're still able to help businesses of all sizes with the fluctuation of HR and recruiting needs. So we've seen multiple companies kind of just have huge changes when it comes to things like that. Depending on which industry it's in, we've seen a lot of companies do layoffs recently, and then we have to help them with that process. In addition to when they're ready to hire back, which sometimes it's almost immediately because they lay people off, the people they liked and wanted to keep and needed to keep, then they leave because just the company is, you know, going through some changes, and then they have to still hire back. So we do all of it all at the same time. So we're hiring people as well as, you know, doing some layoffs or furloughs at the same time. And then we're seeing a lot of businesses go under at the moment. So we're seeing a lot of more people become available. So we're helping them connect to recruiters. So we do like to make vendor relationships so that we can help refer people when the jobs are, you know, when people are looking for jobs and jobs are available. So we're starting to see a lot of changes in HR, but for us as a company, we've had to kind of grow and change and evolve and learn from our mistakes. So.
Yeah. Wow. There's a lot in that, Michelle, to unpack, and just really wanted to shine a light, if you will, on the fact that you said, you know, your profit margins, because from my world, that is an uncommon thing to hear. And I just wanted to pinpoint that that's what made you be able to make those decisions and change how you bill and understand all that. And so many businesses don't understand that. So they're not making those decisions, especially we saw that during COVID, they didn't know, mm-hmm. and the supply chain and, mm-hmm. you know, all those issues that were going on, and some still are going on. But I also, you know, the sharing of just how HR is evolving and the candidate pool is evolving. And it really makes you realize why having someone like you is so helpful to know and guide you through all that, because you're, you know, and like us, you can see it from a higher point of view because you're working with multiple businesses versus mm-hmm. that business owner can only see their mm-hmm. view of what's going on in their business versus a wider view of what's going on in the economy, in the marketplace in general. So that was really wonderful insights to hear. And for you, like, what's the next exciting thing that you're tackling, or, you know, the next growth piece that you're focused on? What's ahead?
So ultimately I've spent the last year kind of structuring the business in a way that will make it, I guess, easier to grow. So I did this year the same revenue as I did last year, kind of on purpose. So mm-hmm. this year we're on track to do the same thing, about 1.2 million. And that's mainly because we built a brand new CRM. We're putting new automated processes in place for marketing. And we've started to really figure out how to grow in a strategic way that doesn't burden our employees. So we've partnered with contractors that we really enjoy working with, that we can, they have obviously their own business, their own, you know, revenue streams, but they're willing to work with us when we have overflow. So we will overflow to trusted contractors and then hire our new employees. And as soon as they come on board, we can strategically offload that workload onto new employees without burdening them as well. And, you know, having to overburden our current employees with extra work that they can't have time for, can't take. So we really learned how to, you know, we had a lot of consultants that I talked to don't know the idea of how to put like the cart before the horse before the cart. Like, when do you hire versus when do you get new clients? Yeah. How do you get new clients without having too much work or not enough work? And how do you balance all that out? So we've really taken the time to evaluate that. And what kind of workload can we, you know, to put on our employees without it being too much or too little and things like that. So that's what we've really been spending a lot of internal time on this year and growing. So now we have all that infrastructure in place. And so this upcoming year, we're really focusing on you know, new marketing avenues and streams and things like that, and outreach. And obviously working with people like you make a big difference for that. And then we can continue to grow and departmentalize what, you know, the HR department we already have, and we can continue to grow strategically that way.
Cool. That's exciting. And I love that you spent a year intentionally working through your processes and making things easier so that you could grow. And, you know, there's been a lot of science about that, kind of past a million to getting to five is, you know, mm-hmm. a time when you need to be more efficient. So I love that you're already thinking that way. And I'm
It's the same thing I've heard too. What it takes to get there, it doesn't take to keep you there. Like you have to keep growing and evolving and changing and realizing your, you know, your strengths and things like that and weaknesses too. And then finding resources that fill in those gaps. And so that's what we've really been focusing on.
That's awesome. I love it. For you, this is one of my favorite questions to ask is, you know, what really lights you up? Like what, when you get up, when the alarm goes off and you're starting another day, what is like, comes to mind that you're most excited about, most passionate about that keeps you going?
I really enjoy, me personally, there's two answers to that, I would say. So me personally, I really enjoy being able to like close new business. So when I'm talking with companies and they're excited to get started with us, because once I kind of give them to the account managers and the HR team, then I kind of just check in every once in a while. I don't interact with them on a regular basis like they do. So then I usually hear feedback through my own team and then just every once in a while checking in with them. So when I start talking with companies, and since that's the majority of the time that I spend, that really excites me to know that we're there to help them and be able to talk to new companies that are ready to work with us, which is really great. And then for another like side of my personal side of that is I've designed my business so that everyone can work remotely, including myself. And this was something I did intentionally that I didn't have that freedom until COVID, when everyone accepted the ability to work remote, regardless of where you are. So I get to travel and I still work while I'm traveling. I'm not on vacation, but I just work from different places in the world. So I get to just stay in long, you know, places for longer periods of time. And regardless of where I am, I tend to work on different time zones within the US. So I personally get to take advantage of my love for travel while still working and building the business and things like that. So far I've been to 30 countries and I actually leave next week to go to Portugal for the rest of the month.
Ooh, that's awesome. So, I haven't hit that one yet. I've heard great things though.
Yeah. It'll be my second time going to Portugal. Last year we were in kind of the south part near Lisbon and Sintra, and this time we'll be in the north part for Porto. So
very cool. Yeah. We have that love for travel in common. Our goal was to hit 12 trips in 12 months last year, and we totally did it. And some of them were multiple weeks long, like in Europe or Alaska. Yeah. And so I totally get that. It's, you know, and so many businesses kind of say, well, I'll get to that once I'm at a certain point. But I think, you know, your story just shows that you can figure if that's really what you want to do, then you can work proactively to create that and structure it that way. So thank you for sharing that. I love that. You know, not only just the love for people and talking to new people you can help, but to also structure a business that you enjoy it and where it is and where you're having those calls from. So I love that so much. Very cool. So, you know, I think that anyone listening, you know, what I've learned is that, you know, you guys are such a breath of fresh air as far as having a good second advice on how to really deal with the people challenges. And they're going to continue to evolve as the economy evolves. And there's some real opportunities now with the shakeup of candidates to really get someone that can help you stay in recruiting and working through all of that change outs of the team that you might have had to hire some people during harder times that really aren't the best and get those replaced. And so there's a lot of work to do, but it's great to know there's a resource right here in the community that is doing that work. And you have some really exciting things ahead of you. So if anyone's listening and you want some support and just want to get a call, Michelle's actually the person you'll talk to. So I'll make sure all her info is below, and definitely reach out to her to learn more. And thank you so much, Michelle, for doing this. There were so many good nuggets in this one. I really enjoyed it. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. It was so great to chat with you.
Absolutely. And I'll talk to you soon.